So again, we're going to be in Luke this morning. If you have it on your phone, you can go ahead and use that. But I mean, I want to recommend that you guys start bringing like real, actual, like physical Bibles with you. So we're going to be Luke chapter 6. So here's the thing. Sometimes things can feel a little bit backwards, all right? I remember growing up, there were a couple times in my life where things just started to feel kind of like upside down. Like it was just like, what is going on? Where you have one expectation of something, and all of a sudden that expectation gets, people use this phrase all the time, they say it gets flipped upside down. And that really means that like whatever you expected to happen, pretty much like the opposite of that is what happened. Like, I remember, I've told you guys this story before, but one time I was riding my brother's bicycle, and I totally thought that the right handlebar was the back brake. However, the right handlebar on this brake, on this bike, was the front brake. And so my expectation was that I was going to stop. My expectations got flipped upside down, and actually also literally, because I hit the front brake of this bike, and I flipped the bike over, and I broke it. And so it was my brother's birthday. He had just gotten this bike, and I destroyed it. And so I'm sorry, Paul, if you're listening to this. I destroyed it. I know. Somebody's clapping for me. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyways, other things like, have you guys ever gone to have, like, ice cream, all right? And you're just like so excited. Maybe you say, all right, Mom, I want vanilla. I want just regular vanilla ice cream. And it shows up and you eat it and it's totally not that flavor. Like they're, you know that vanilla and coconut look very much alike? They're both white. However, coconut is disgusting. Okay? Disgusting. Boo, coconut flavor. Thank you. Yeah. It had to be said. It had to have been said. All right? Where you're just like, man, I'm really so ready for this nice, delicious vanilla ice cream to cool me down on this hot summer day. And you bite into it, and it's coconut, and you want to throw up everywhere. It's disgusting. All right? Has anything like that ever happened? Where you've expected one thing, and what has happened is actually the opposite of that. Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. Yes? Perfect. Or, here's my last example. You think, like, you just took the biggest science test of your whole entire life. And you're like, I crushed it. I did such a great job. And you come into school the next day, ready to get your paper back, and you're just like, this is going to be awesome. I'm about to get my exam back. I'm about to have an A. I'm going to have 100 in this class. What? And like the teacher hands it back to you, and it's like, you scored 47 out of 100. And it's like, oh, no. You think that you did awesome, and you did terrible. Like it was totally opposite of what you were expecting. You thought you were going to get an A, and you failed. All right? Has that ever happened to anybody else? The reason that you thought you were going to get an A is because you were so confident in your ignorance that you thought that you were just answering all of them right. And actually, you were answering them all of them wrong, but confidently. So that's what happens. Still confident, still failed. So it didn't work out that way. So what we're going to look at is a flipping of expectations. All right? Because Jesus does a lot of this in the New Testament. He flips people's expectations upside down. The first and main thing, one of the bigger ways that he did that was just with who he was. Like we've seen before, right, as Easter and all those other things start to come up here towards the end of April, like there are people that had expectations of who Jesus was, what he was going to do, not just what he was going to do, but what he was going to do for them. All right? Here's the thing. I think a lot of us in here, I've experienced this too. Sometimes we put expectations on Jesus of like thinking that we know what he's going to do for us or like that we think that we know best. Like, Jesus, if you would just give me this thing, or if Jesus, if you just answer my prayer in the right way, like the way that I want it to be answered, everything would be good. All right? Do we ever feel that way where sometimes we start to kind of put expectations on Jesus and like what he should do for us or what God should be doing for us or the way that he should answer our prayers? There's going to be a lot of people tonight around like 9 or 10 o'clock that are going to be praying prayers like that they're going to be asking God to like make their favorite football team win a certain game tonight. All right? Like, there's going to be Patriots fans who are going to be like, Jesus, please just give Tom Brady just this one more, just one more. 5 rings isn't enough. He needs 6. Just give him one more, all right? Like, if you just do that, that would be the right thing to do. And they're going to sit there, and they're going to think to themselves, God, making the Patriots win the Super Bowl would be the right thing to do. Like, you should just make that happen. All right, you see how you're trying to put expectations on God, like trying to get him to do what you want? I think sometimes that happens. I remember as a little kid, I hated getting sick. Being sick is the worst. And I hated throwing up. All right? Raise your hand if you know of anything worse than throwing up. You don't. Put your hands down. The answer is wrong. There's nothing worse than throwing up. It's terrible. And I remember, listen up. I remember literally, like, before I realized that I was going to be sick, I spent so much time on my knees. One, because my stomach hurt. Two, because I was in prayer. Just being like, God, if you can just make me not throw up right now, I'll do anything you want. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything you want. Just not right. Can I not be sick? That would be awesome. God, just take this away. Like, my prayer would become, like, more intense. Like, and then I would throw up and be like, okay, maybe I feel a little better. Thanks, God. Like, you do know what's best for me. Getting the gross things inside, outside. Like, and so I would pray like that. Like, we put expectations on God. We're like, God, if you would just do what I want, this would be great. All right? And sometimes we see God a little bit like a genie, all right, or somebody kind of like a wish granter, somebody who just is there to hear us when we're in trouble, or when things aren't going well, and we're just like, man, God, things aren't going so well right now. I could really use your help, like, just a little bit of help right now. And then, like, for the next, like, couple years, you won't hear from me again, because it's going to be fine, all right? Great? Cool? All right, thanks. Like, that's what we expect. But that's not the way that God works. And so from the minute that Jesus shows up on the scene, he just totally flips expectations upside down. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 20. All right? We're going to start in verse 20. This is what some of you might call the Sermon on the Plain. All right? How many of you guys have heard of the Sermon on the Plain? Anybody? We got a couple people. How many of you heard of Sermon on the Mount? I mean, okay, a lot more people. That's why I wanted to hang out in Luke. So the Sermon on the Mount, it's pretty much the same thing, all right? The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew. So Matthew records the Sermon on the Mount. It's 3 chapters long, and he records it in Matthew. The Sermon on the Plain is Luke's account of what many believe to be the same moment. Some think it's a different moment where he just was kind of reiterating, and so they go back and forth on that. We'll never really know. But we do know that Jesus teaches a lot of the same things here in the book of Luke that we see in the book of Matthew, all right, including the very beginning, which was where we're going to hang out. There's only going to be 6 verses that we hang out in today, called the Beatitudes, all right? And that's just another word for the blessings, the blessings. Has anybody ever told you that, like, be blessed today? Be blessed. Has anybody ever said that to you? Like, I don't know. Does anybody say that anymore? I hear it all the time. You got it. Yeah, JP. I feel you. I feel like it always comes from, like, older people. Like, have a blessed day. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have run into that. Like, there was a lady on the bus at Disney World who I was eavesdropping in on this conversation, and they were just talking about their life, and then the lady walked by, was getting off the bus, and the older woman that she was talking to was like, have a blessed day. And I'm just like, yeah, be blessed. Like, I don't know. I hear that all the time, but I think we don't really know what it means. But here's what I think. If I was going to read a section of the Bible to you called The Blessings, talking about how you can be blessed, I think there's a couple things that we might think it talks about. I think we would think that it might talk about, like, money. I think that it might talk about being healthy. I think it might talk about, like, happiness and joy and those types of things. Like, that's the blessing that we're getting. But here already, right away, in Luke chapter 6, in the Beatitudes, we're going to see Jesus start to flip expectations upside down. Let's look at this. And he lifted up his eyes, this is Jesus, on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. And blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." So, whoa, wait, time out, God. Hold on. You're going to bless us. You're talking about blessings, right? Like, are we sure we're talking about? And like, not like the worst day of my whole life where there's no money, no food, and I'm crying. Like, that sounds, doesn't sound very blessed, right? That does not, that's not what's happening here. But Jesus already, he's flipping expectations. He's flipping things upside down because what he's describing the kingdom of God. He's describing here the opposite, basically, of what most people expected to be blessings. He says, again, the poor, you're blessed. If you're hungry, you're blessed. Those of you who are weeping, who are in mourning, who are crying, who are sad, you're blessed. That feels backwards, doesn't it? Like, doesn't that, shouldn't it be, blessed are you who have money. You don't have to worry about anything that you want. Blessed are you who have tons of food because you'll never go hungry. And blessed are you who have joy because you'll never cry. Like, wouldn't that, don't you feel like that would make more sense? Yes? You cannot? Yeah? No? Why? In my mind, that would make more sense. Like, if someone was going to be like, hey, you know what? Let me say a blessing over you. Let me say a blessing over you for the day. Man, God, would you just bless them with no money and no food and crying? Like, if that's what that little lady said, like, to the other woman getting off the bus, they're like, all right, have fun at Disney World. Hope that you have no money, that you're hungry all day, and that you cry a lot. Like, that's how you end up after you leave Disney. You have no money, you have no food, and you're crying because of how exhausted you are. All right? That's what happens after you leave. It's different. But no, Jesus is saying there are people who are listening to him. So here's the thing. You have to see it this way. There are two different kind of people groups listening to Jesus at this time. People who were poor and hungry, who did not know where their next meal was going to come from, who had hardship, these people were looked down on by society at the time. In the same way, like, that now, it's pretty common. Like, you show up to school, right, and there's just kind of this stigma, like, if you don't have on the right kind of clothes, if you don't have the right kind of stuff, like, even, like, we made fun of each other for not having the right, like, I have Crayola crayons. What are those? Rose art? Jeez. Like, we would make fun of each other for not having, like, the most expensive, most up-to-date, whatever thing. What's that, an iPhone 4? Man, what a loser. Like, and there is this pull to say, I need to have more stuff. I need to have the right things. All right? So there's this poor people group, downtrodden, that are looked down on by society. And then you have these other people that are kind of these, like, high up religious type of people who they're like, we know the law, we know God's word, we know the scriptures from the Old Testament that have been handed down to us from Moses, like, and we don't hang out with those other people. We don't want to have anything to do with those people who are lower than us or whatever, and they think of themselves as better. They're full of pride and all of these things. And so what Jesus is saying is that for those of you who are poor, those of you who have rose art crayons, all right? Blessed are those who have rose art, all right? Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. And blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. He's saying the people who are blessed, the people who can see the clearer picture of what's happening are not the people with the most money, are not the people with the most things or the most stuff or the newest whatever. Jesus is saying that the people who are blessed are the people who, man, the poor, the oppressed, the downtrodden, like those people, God says they have something. They are blessed beyond what you can believe because they don't cling to stuff. Here's what I know and what I've found out as I've gotten older in life. The more stuff that I have, it seems like the easier it is to become unhappy. You guys understand that? Like, the more stuff you have, it's like, then it's just, you just want more and more stuff. I've talked about this before, where like, you get the latest and greatest whatever. You buy a PlayStation. You buy an Xbox. You buy a new car. You buy the latest whatever. Like, and in a year, it's outdated and there's something new. Not even a year, like 6 months, and there's something new. What do you do then? You feel like you have to go out and you have to get more, and you're just caught up in this race. You're caught up in this cycle where you're just constantly, constantly chasing after these things, and you end up miserable. Don't get caught in this. So Jesus already here, he's starting to flip things upside down. He takes it one step further. Not only are the people who are blessed, the poor, the hungry, and the ones who are weeping, but he says this, blessed are you when people hate you. Whoa. Okay, time out, Jesus. Like, are you sure, like, you're not reading the wrong part of it? Like, what's happening here? He says, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Okay, wait, so like you're saying that on your account, like on account of Jesus, like if people hate me and exclude me from things and like tell me to just go away and get out of there, like because I follow you, that's good? What? Hold on, time out, what? How many of that, like that's our dream. But like we show up to lunch like with our tray and like the whole lunchroom looks at us and goes, uh-uh. And like they turn around and you're like, cool, I'm all alone. Yeah, no one likes me. This is great. This is my favorite. This is my best. This is the best day ever. Like that's not, no. Especially if everybody looks at you and they go, that's that kid that like goes to church and follows Jesus and stuff and says some weird stuff. Like I'm not all about that. Yeah, I never want to hang out with that person ever. That person is the worst. Like, Jesus is saying, man, if you're following me and loving people, and people hate you because of that, then you're blessed. That sounds crazy. Rejoice in that day. Not only is he saying, hey, this is, you're blessed, he's like, rejoice in that day. Like, have a party. Leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Like, that just sounds totally backwards. And then he takes it another step further, where the things that we thought he was going to say now is a warning. He says, but woe to you. Woe is like, beware. Like, watch out. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Let me try and clear some of this up for you. So these four things that he's kind of throwing in opposition, the poor and the rich, the hungry and the full, the weeping and the laughing, the people who are hated and the people who everybody loves. He's saying this. There are people around us, and sometimes this can be us too. Like, think about this as, like, this is you potentially. How far sometimes are we willing to go to step on other people in order to lift ourselves up? Jesus here in this culture, he's talking about people who go out of their way. Like, the rich people typically are crooked. They're typically stealing from people. Like you think of in our day now, you think of the richest of the rich people. How many of them are like just totally up to their eyeballs in like scandals and all of these lawsuits and all these things for people that they have either cheated or robbed or like just weaseled out of different things, like people being sent to jail for fraud and all these things. That are just, they're just hand over fist trying to get more and more and more. And on their way to the top, they don't care who they step on or who they put out or whatever. Like, it doesn't even matter to them because their goal is just more of whatever. It's just more. And so Jesus is warning against this. And he's basically calling these people out even in this moment. He's saying, those of you who just want more, the ones who just continue to put other people down, who don't care who you step on your way to the top, that's not the way that I've called you to live. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. Because not only do those people take other people's money, but because they've taken their money, they've pretty much taken food out of their mouths. They make them just, like, it's crazy the amount of things that people will do to get to the top. The amount of relationships that people will forsake, that people that they'll crush because they become selfish and prideful and all about themselves. And he's saying, those of you who think you've got it made, who you think you've got it all together, and you're laughing, you're having a great time, you're going to parties, like you have all the money in the world that you could ever want, guess what? It's not going to last forever. Because that's not what life is all about. And if your number one goal, the very last thing he says, is just that people will speak well of you, man, watch out. That's a dangerous road to go down. Because here's the thing. Many of us, we find ourselves like on that road without even really knowing about it. But you have to watch your own heart. Like, you have to ask yourself legitimate questions. Like, so I'll be honest here. I used to take like a ton of pictures of myself. I know that sounds weird. Like, I used to take a bunch of selfies. Like in college and in the end of high school. Because I was so obsessed with what people thought about me and how I looked. And I joined like this early platform. It wasn't Instagram, but it was like that, where you're supposed to like take a picture of yourself every single day. And the whole thing behind it was like, you can see how you change like over the course of like a year, two, 3 years. But like the whole thing was just all about people like commenting back and forth on each other's pictures about like, wow, you look so great, or like, wow, this is a great picture, or whatever. And it was just kind of like, you just feed off of that. Especially if that's where you found your worth or your self-esteem from, or your value in. Like, many of us do that, right? And I've been there. Like, I did not have the best self-worth. I did not see myself in a very high light. And so any praise or adoration, like words of affirmation, whatever that I could get, I would like, it was like a drug to me. And you see, like, sometimes that may be you. I see it happen all the time, like that people post pictures and it's like posting this picture and it's a terrible picture. And like, you're just fishing for compliments, for people to be like, no, it's a great picture of you. What are you talking about? You look awesome in this photo. Like, you look great. No, I look really bad. No, you're awesome. You look so beautiful. You're so, what a great, like, your face is so nice. Like, all, no, I look really, really, I look ugly and terrible. Like, and you're just fishing for compliments. Like, you're just trying to pull them in. Because everything that, every extra like, every extra compliment, everything that comes in your way makes you feel like more of a person, or you feel better about yourself. It's a dangerous place to live. Because what's going to happen when those comments or those things stop? What's going to happen when you no longer have an outlet like that for you to just continue to try to bring in more and more praise for yourself, for people to think well of you? I'm telling you guys this now, like, it is so dangerous to live a filtered life where the only thing that people see are the good things about you or the things that you want them to see. I watched a family like waiting in line for the, which one was it? It was one of the rides at Disney World. And like, they had three kids, the mom and dad like looked exhausted. Kids were screaming. I'm like, they're having the worst vacation of all time. This looks absolutely horrendous. But like, even in the middle of crying, like the mom like picked up their little one and like took a selfie really fast and like made the baby laugh in the middle of, like, while it was crying. She was like, quick laugh. And then took a selfie with her and the child, like with the, it was one of the rides behind them. And I'm sure that, like, that picture was going to be sent out. And it's like, having the best vacation of all time at Disney World. Like, and all people see are just this quick snapshot of, like, a smiling, laughing baby and this mom who looks like she's got it all put together. And it's like, everything's awesome. And then the phone goes away, and like, it's back to just chaos and madness. And it's insane. Because how many times do we think even about, man, I wonder what people are thinking about me right now while I do this. I wonder what other people, how other people see me when I'm doing this. Everything becomes about how other people view you. And Jesus says, man, if that's you, watch out. Because if who you are, if everything that you've got is placed, your value, your worth, all of that is placed into how others see you, that's a dangerous spot to be in. And if you're like, man, that is me, and I don't know what to do, I would love to talk to you. If you want, we can meet and we can talk about it. I would, like, your small group leader, they want to talk to you about that. If you have friends even who may see that in you. Here's the other thing too. It's important that we're able to call each other out on this. That we're able to encourage one another to be like, hey, what other people say about you doesn't matter because it's what Jesus says about you. It's who he says that you are. That's what matters in your life. It's not what other people say. It's not how other people think about you. Because here's the thing. You may have days where people are saying really awesome things about you online or wherever or at school or through whatever. And you're just like, man, I'm on top right now. But if that's where you place your worth, think about what happens when that turns on you. And all of a sudden, everybody's posting things or everybody's saying things or everybody's snapping things. And it's all like, and it's all bad. Where do you go then? Because if that's then where you place your worth, you're going to feel like nothing. When all that stuff that they're saying, like, that shouldn't matter. Because that's not where your value, that's not where your worth should be placed. He's saying, watch out. So Jesus shows up and he starts to flip things upside down. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who hunger. All these things, it feels backwards. But Jesus is trying to point out the fact that our main goal should not be about getting ahead. It should not be about putting other people down. Like, and if that is you who step on people to make yourself feel better, man, watch out. You need to check where your heart's at. And if you feel like you're on the other side of the spectrum, if you feel like that is you, where like you wake up every day and you're like, man, I just don't feel good about myself. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Know that there's hope. Know that Jesus sees you and he cares for you. And hopefully he's placed you here for this very reason, to find a community of people who can love you and care for you and just remind you that your value is not found in what other people say about you. It's about who Jesus has made you to be. So I'm gonna close this out. We're not gonna sing just because I ran over, and so I'm sorry. But I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna bug out of here. So let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all that you do. God, would you remind us of the fact that you have created us and you care for us? Would you help us not to be greedy? Would you help us not to be prideful? Would you help us to see what it's like to live in your upside-down kingdom? God, would you show us what that means this week? We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.